There's a wonderful scene in A Prayer for Owen Meany from 1989, John Irving, of a boy that was given a package from a visitor, and there were numerous people around, and he was told that whatever you do, do not open this package. I do not want you to even take a peek as to see what's inside. And this child who was given this awesome responsibility to hold this box could not contain himself any longer. The suspense was so great and so intense that only after a few moments he opened up the box. And when he did, he jumped, knocking dishes and furniture all around. For inside, he was alarmed to see what he thought was a real armadillo. What was most interesting was not the reaction of that child, but the reaction of everyone else in the room. There was not a single adult that observed this entire scenario, that heard this conversation between this visitor and this child, that actually thought for a moment that this boy would listen and to comply to the words of this visitor. Every person knew that this child would not be able to control himself because of his interest and his curiosity, which was piqued, that certainly he had have no choice but to look. The reality is, we are not much better than that child. We, Adam, we who are human, have that same desire to be able to take that which we're not supposed to take, to be able to look at that which we're not supposed to. This is the trait of man. This is the trait of Adam. We find this by the original Adam, Adam HaRishon. In our parsha, Hashem instructs him that he is not to partake of the Eitz Hadas, that he should not consume anything from that tree of knowledge. What is most fascinating is that we find in the Psukim that there was not just one tree. The Torah tells us in the second chapter in Pasuk Tes, the Eitz HaChayim B'Soch HaGan, the Eitz Hadas Tovara, that there were two trees. The one we're familiar with, the one in which Adam and Chava consumed and ate from the fruit, the Eitz Hadas, this tree of knowledge. But there was also an Eitz HaChayim, a tree of life, this fountain of youth, B'Soch HaGan, which was in the middle of the garden. Many of the commentators wonder, what was the status of the Eitz HaChayim? Was that a tree in which Adam and Chava were also not allowed to eat from? If that in fact is the case, it's difficult to understand why God did not warn them against eating this particular fruit, but only the Psukim tell us that they were warned from eating the Eitz Hadas. And in fact, if it was something in which they were not allowed to do, God would be required, seemingly to have to warn them, so that they would not make this mistake of eating from the Eitz HaChayim. What's even more difficult is, why would a person only gravitate themselves toward the Eitz Hadas? Knowledge is a good thing, it's important. But wouldn't one also be interested in Chayim? Being able to drink from the fountain of youth and being able to be given this great gift of immortality, of being able to live forever? Why wouldn't Adam and Chava wish to ensure that they would live forever by eating from the Eitz HaChayim? And on this, numerous commentators explain potential answers to this question. The Ramban, as well as the Or HaChaim, tell us that without the Eitz Hadas, without the acquiring of knowledge, one does not have the capacity to understand the value of life. Without knowledge, we have nothing. And perhaps this is the very reason why, in our Shmona Esrei, the very first thing that we ask for, Atachonin L'Adam Da'as, because if we do not have knowledge, then we have nothing. We will not be able to understand the value of life. And certainly, there would be a connection between Bereishis and the holiday of Sukkos, which we just celebrated. Sukkos, which represents Das. L'man yedu doroseichem. The whole concept and the purpose of sitting in the Sukkah is to have a certain level of Das. So we certainly see a connection between the mistake of Das, of the Eitz HaDas, and the Takana, which comes first, of Sukkos, of having the proper mindset. The Kli Yakar suggests another approach. Explains Rabbi Ephraim Lunshitz that in fact, when it came to the Eitz HaChayim, one was not allowed to eat from that tree either. Just as Adam and Chava were not to consume the fruits from the Eitz HaDas. So ask the Kli Yakar, if in fact that is the case, Lama lo hizhiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't God warn him? Al shnehem yachad. What's the big deal? So if in fact there was a problem eating from the Eitz HaChayim, God could have warned Adam and Chava not to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, just as he did regarding the Eitz HaDas. And the Kli Yakar tells us something very, very powerful, very meaningful. He tells us that there is a distinct difference between these two trees in their physical appearance. When it came to this tree of life, lo hayu lo pri klal, there were no fruits on this tree at all. So how was it edible? V'tam ha'etz hayu katam pri. The taste of the branches had the same taste of a fruit, which means that the Eitz HaChayim, if you would break off a branch, you could actually eat that branch. Perhaps it was soft enough that one was able to consume the actual tree. However, says the Kli Yakar, of Eitz HaDas, Hayo lo pri nechmad, the pri in which came forth from this Eitz HaDas was a beautiful fruit. And it was beautiful amaret to see. It had a beautiful appearance. Any person wished to consume this particular fruit, says the Kli Yakar, Fichach, therefore, Kodem she'ochol min Eitz HaDas, before they ate from this tree of knowledge, lo yitzarech lazhiru al Eitz HaChayim. Even though they weren't allowed to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, God realized it was not necessary. Ki lo hoya nechbad lamar, because this tree Eitz HaChayim was not something desirable, not something in which one would gravitate themselves toward to eat. And therefore, the Kli Yakar is telling us something very powerful. That in fact, the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChayim, both trees Adam and Chava saw. When it came to the tree of life, when it came to Chayim, they walked by this tree continuously, but they had no interest, they had no desire to connect themselves to this Eitz HaChayim. They only were interested in focusing their attention on the beauty of the Eitz HaDas. And explains Rabbi Avi Heller, the director of the Community Kollel of Boca Raton. He explains the tremendous message that we can derive and glean from this Kli Yakar. That in our lives, like Adam HaRishon, we pass by an Eitz HaChayim continuously. We see things that are beautiful. We gravitate toward luxuries and affluence and things which are attractive. And that's what catches our eye. That's what we gravitate ourselves to. That's what our heart is pulled toward. But when it comes to chayim, life, we ignore it as though it's insignificant. And we take it for granted. Unfortunately, the Eitz HaChayim in our lives are really the things that matter most. But because they're here, they're with us all the time, continuously, we take them for granted. Our Eitz HaChayim that we may walk by every day and ignore could be the love that people show us, our relationships, our friendships, our health. These are things, as Adam HaRishon did, we walk by and we show no attention to, because it's comparable to that tree which is bearing a fruit which is not exciting and interesting. But the reality is, those are the things in life that matter most. Unfortunately, we are not much different than Adam HaRishon. But we have to learn from Adam to be able to appreciate the smaller things and the finer things of life. Perhaps this is the meaning of the Medrash that explains that this beautiful, wondrous fruit from the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog. The Torah tells us that on Sukkot we take a pre-Eitz Hadar. The Torah testifies it's a wondrous, beautiful fruit. It's Hadar. And we take it on Sukkot. What is the symbolism and significance of Sukkot? Sukkot is a time that we leave our palaces, we leave our yachts, and we go into a hut. And that is Zman Simchaseinu. That's a time in which we're able to tap into true joy, true happiness in our lives. Because we remove ourselves from that which is beautiful and the things which are seemingly important in our lives, but really they're not. And instead, we gravitate toward the things which are simple, the things which are in our sukkah, our family and our friends, those that love us and those that we love. There's no coincidence that on Sukkot itself, we are judged on seemingly the most simple thing, water. Water is something that we take advantage and we take for granted continuously. But I'll tell you, if you go to a country where there's a drought, they realize then the significance of water. If you would have one day that the water was shut off in your homes, that you would go to your faucets or to your showers and there was no water that worked, you would only then realize how important water really is. And that's the message of Sukkot. And that's the message of the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz HaChayim. Is that we have to appreciate the small things, the simple things. And not to focus our attention on the world of the Eitz Hadas, of the things which are luxuries, things which are above and beyond, and to overlook, as Adam HaRishon did, the beauty of life of the Eitz HaChayim. This is why on Sukkot we say Koheles. In Ecclesiastes, Hevel Havolim, a man who had everything was able to realize that the luxuries, the mansions, all of the wonders and the beautiful cars and suits, and all the things that one owns, are insignificant compared to the Eitz HaChayim, to the things that we take advantage of, the things that we take for granted. The message of Bereishis is to never let ourselves to walk by the Eitz HaChayim, to always remember every moment of our lives and appreciate those people that make our lives special. Every single day, we have to have that realization. But I'm certainly not telling that there is an evil to luxury, to success, to wealth. Money is mammon. Mammon has the same numerical value as a sulam, as a ladder. And the reason is that when it comes to one's money, one could take the luxuries and the beauties of life, and one could fall all the way down to the ground, or you can climb up the rungs of that ladder to the highest of heights, to the heavens above. And this is the message of taking the esrog. To be able to be masakin the chet, the mistake of Adam, of gravitating toward materialistic wealth, and that is the significance to just enjoy life and to just enjoy all the pleasures that it has, and to end there. Instead, we take that very fruit and we use it for a mitzvah. We shake the lulav of an esrog. And that esrog, in the symbolism, is to even take the most beautiful things in this world. If we can connect it to spirituality, to God, then we're doing the right thing. You see, when God gives us the blessing of wealth and affluence, the question is, how are we using that blessing? Are we taking it and squandering it? Are we wasting it? Or are we helping Jewish institutions, yeshivas, synagogues, communities, people that are in need? If a person is able to tap into that, then they're able to use both the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz Hadas in the proper fashion. The Eitz Hadas, by taking one's affluence and the beauty of the world, but elevating it to something better, to something spiritual, and at the same time, to never forget the Eitz HaChaim, all the wonders and beauty of our lives. So beautifully, Rabbi Avi Heller explains that this is the message of our Parsha, the significance of giving us the realization that we have to always remember every moment of our lives and to appreciate our Eitz HaChaim. Good Shabbos.